Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, one and all, to Web Sleuth Radio. We're back in the year, and we're not back in the year. We are into the new year, 2017. I'm still not used to it being 2010. This is just too much for me to handle. So let's just go right to the meat of the story here on Web Sleuth Radio. My name is Tricia Griffith. I'm the proud owner of WebSleuth.com, and my co-host tonight is Bessie. Bessie is one of our head administrators at Web Sleuth, and we have been working on the Long Island serial killer case in conjunction with the A&E show The Killing Season with Rachel Mills and Josh Zeman, and a couple of very interesting things have been discovered since The Killing Season was on the air. And one of our regulars at Web Sleuth discovered a sheet that was by one of the Long Island serial killer's victims, discovered the make of the sheet and all of this information. And Bessie, this member at Web Sleuth is called Coffee and a Cig. Why don't you tell us what this person found and if it's going to have any importance at all? Maybe we don't even know yet.
Well, Tricia, Coffee and a Cig dug really deep and found out, you know, who was the manufacturer of this particular sheet. It's Wamsuda, and she has been researching deeply, and so have many of the other web sleuthers, to find out, you know, when the sheet particular pattern was manufactured and which retailers carried it. And hopefully, if we're lucky, we can pinpoint it to a particular location where it may have been purchased, which could lead us to, you know, to Peaches and Peaches' origin. This is the sheet that was found with Peaches in that Rubbermaid tub.
And that's very important to, right, and it's very important to find out, because if they can trace the sheet, they might be, who knows, Peaches might have used a credit card to buy it, or they might have, maybe not this long ago, but they, who knows, they might have some security tape. You just never know. That's the reason why you want to search these things out and try and discover exactly where they came from, because you never know where it will lead. So hats off to Coffee and a Cig. That was a great discovery and one of the many, many discoveries that our wonderful Web Sleuth makers, our Web Sleuth members make all the time. Let's get to the gist of our show tonight. The Long Island serial killer went along a stretch of highway that was very dangerous, very scary. And the women we're going to have on tonight, they've also traveled that same highway. And a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have a member from Web Sleuth named Honesty, and also new, is it New Angels or is it New Angles?
New
I can't read
new
my
angle.
Own.
New Angles.
New Angles. New Angles will be on here in just a little bit. Go
and
ahead,
these
Bessie.
Women have they've traveled different routes along the highway. You know, some were truckers, some rode with their husbands, some rode in teams, some, you know, rode with their dads. I believe Iris and Daffodils got started with their dad. And so they've traveled many of the different routes, and they're going to give us, clue us in on what they've seen. They've worked with sex workers. They've been in dangerous situations. How they've protected themselves, and some of the things that they, you know, they've seen, some confrontations they've had with sex workers, some friendly, but they were actually there. They have lived the life, so they should be able to clue us in a lot on what it's like.
Exactly. They'll be able to paint the picture. We talk about Long Island serial killer and all the other serial killers, but we really need to have a picture painted for us, the danger that the working women are in, and they're in this danger every single night. And these women we're going to have on tonight will help us paint that picture. Let's go to our first guest. You know her on Web Sleuth as Iris and Daffodils. Iris and Daffodils, thank you for joining us tonight. Let's just talk a little bit about how you became a trucker, right? Is that how you travel along these highways? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I started trucking at the end of 2014, and I drove primarily on my own, solo, until June of this year.
When you're out driving and you go to truck stops, obviously you see the sex workers there. Is it pretty much every truck stop you go to, there's a group of sex workers? I mean, is it everywhere along the route in the U.S.?
No, there are some pretty clean truck stops that are heavily secured, but you'll notice that there's regulars, there's places that you go to that always have workers there.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of learn to pick them out.
You traveled, do you know where you traveled that perhaps Liz had traveled, Long Island Serial Killer? Can you narrow down that area for us?
I primarily stayed out of the Northeast. I was mostly on Interstate 40, 55, the Memphis area, and Chicago, and the tollway of 80 and 90.
Do you feel that, as a female truck driver, that you are in danger? I mean, obviously, when you're traveling, driving, you're not in danger, but it seems like to me anytime you stop, you could be vulnerable. Did you ever feel that way?
Definitely. I think one of the scariest things is, you know, when you go to bed at night, you need to lock your doors, but, you know, anything can happen in the back of the truck stops. It's very dark most places. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to go inside to eat, or you have to go inside to use the bathroom and the shower. So they see you, and they see when you come out. Basically, if anybody's sitting in their front seat, you know, it's an open parking lot, so you're going to have to walk across it. And that, you know, it does make you a little vulnerable. But probably the scariest thing is having people rattle your doorknobs.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Now, let's for the people listening who may not know this, when you go to truck stops, Flying J is a big one. The truckers park around back, and they sleep in their trucks. You have a little, like, a thing above your cab that's like a little bed, like a little bed in a camper is kind of what it's like. And so you pull over there to sleep. And you usually pull around the back of the truck stop. They usually have places for the big 18-wheelers to park all their trucks. And most of them have showers, bathrooms, washing machines, dryers, all the creature comforts of home. So you can go in, do your laundry, shower. But here's the thing, and this is good for everybody, especially women when you're out and about at night. You don't know who's watching. So, like you said, Iris and Daffodils, you go shower, you know, get ready, do a few things. You walk out to your truck, you don't know who's watching you. You get in there, you lock all the doors. That's not a guarantee. And how? Right. Tell us about one of the times that somebody tried to rattle the door.
A lot of times it's, you have a lot of female sex workers that come up to the trucks, and they're knocking on the door, or, you know, they usually try to solicit. But I've had times when I go in, there's a curtain that you pull to cover your windows and your windshield. And basically you can't see outside. So I could hear the door, you know. Somebody had mm-hmm. told me a trick about taking a ratchet strap for like flatbed loads and mm-hmm. threading it through the armrest of each door. And ratcheting it up mm-hmm. tight so that even if they did, you know, break the lock somehow, they can't pull the door out. And that's probably
now,
one
that's
of the most
a good
helpful
idea.
Things I learned. Yeah, but the thing is, most of the newer trucks don't have that thread through armrest anymore. So.
Oh, that's not good. Well, and again, we're talking about you, Iris and Daffodil, as a truck driver. You are in this type of danger. Just think about the working ladies out there, the sex workers. They don't know who they're getting when they hop into a truck, right?
I'm scared. You know, I was scared when I was out there just walking through the parking lot because there's so much that can happen between the trucks. You know, somebody can grab you and drag you under a trailer and nobody would know. You know, a lot of those mm-hmm. trucks idle and they're very, very loud. So I couldn't even imagine what it would be like, the risk you have to put yourself in, you know, it's just
to do that. So when you were a truck driver, did you get to know other truck drivers? Did you recognize people at truck stops?
I did meet a lot of people in truck driving school. So we all kind of kept in touch. And like Facebook has an option where you can see other people's locations. So if I knew I was going to be in Memphis and my friend was on his way to Memphis, you know, we'd meet up and go have dinner or and do stuff like that. You know, my company had a terminal in Memphis, so I was there a lot. And it's always safest to park in your terminal. So I tried that as much as possible.
What is the most frightening thing that has happened to you as a truck driver traveling these same roads as serial killers?
I had written it on Web Sleuth. Probably the scariest thing was I had gone inside to take a shower. You know, you can tell who's a driver and who's not when you go into truck stop, and you can tell why they're there. If you got a big bag, you're taking a shower. And I had gone in, and this particular day, there was a very long line. So I decided to get something to eat while I waited. And there was a man at another table, and he was a driver, and he kind of started chatting with me about the weather and, you know, about driving. A lot of driving is, you know, pertains to the weather. So, but, you know, I finally got my number called, and I took a shower, and I came out, and I didn't see him, but as I was walking to my truck, I noticed the truck next to mine was flashing his lights. And I was like, I already kind of know to ignore everybody. But it was just, I didn't understand what was going on. And I went to go get in my truck, and that same man had parked next to me. And I don't know when he did it because, you know, the truck stopped. Fill up very fast, and if he was in there eating, he would have had to have been parked already, and the spot next to me was empty when I went to go take a shower, so he had to have moved to park next to me, which kind of made me a little fearful.
That's
just
creepy.
Because he knew where I parked in the first
place,
which means he had to have been watching, and he wasn't wearing, I don't think he was wearing clothes, I couldn't see him. The waist down, I could tell he was for sure not wearing a shirt. And it was when I was smoking, so I sat in my driver's seat and I smoked a cigarette. And basically the conversation started becoming a little bizarre. And he kept trying to get me to come look at his CB. He was telling me about the changing colors or something. And I was just completely on edge. I told him I had to go to bed, and I rolled up my window, and I basically slept with a switchblade under my pillow the entire night. I couldn't wait
to get
out of bed.
I don't blame you. So was that other trucker that was flashing his lights, was he trying to say, hey, this guy's naked, or what was he trying to warn you about?
Oh, no, that was him. He was trying to get my attention.
Oh, that was him. Oh, I thought somebody was trying to warn you. Oh, and then he was... You couldn't see him from the waist down, but from the waist up, he didn't have any clothes on. He was didn't have a shirt.
No, I could see kind of the corner of his hip from where I was sitting, like not full front or anything because of the angle I was at, but it really didn't look like he was. And I was a little freaked out. I was trying not to stare. I didn't think anything. But
exactly. Well, and, you know, they're perverts that do these things. I mean, what a jerk. He's doing this to a fellow truck driver. I don't understand that mentality. Well, I don't blame you one single bit for sleeping with a switchblade under your pillow. I would have tried to find a loaded shotgun somewhere. But anyway, hold on, Iris and Daffodils. We're going to go to Bessie here. Bessie, let's talk a little bit about LISC and the sex workers before we go to our next guest. Our other guests, it must be terrifying for these women out there. And I know everybody, yes, they chose the life, yes, they're on drugs, blah, blah, blah. But here's the deal. When they were born and growing up, they didn't think, wow, I want to become a prostitute and do drugs. It just happened. Whatever happened in their life took them to this route, and they need help. They don't need our scorn. They need help. Bessie, can you imagine the terror that some of these sex workers must feel?
No, I can't. And of course, we know of some, you know, of the long-haul truckers who have been arrested who actually had torture chambers. I think Ben Rhodes was one who actually had, like a torture chamber in the back of his truck. And the problem is that a young girl or a young woman can be picked up in, Florida, whatever, taken out on the road, tortured, raped, killed, and then her body dumped, three or four states away. So the problem is how the heck do you trace the remains back to the origin of where they were actually picked up? And this is the problem that the FBI faces with the highway serial killing initiative. It's very, very hard to track.
What is that initiative? Explain to our audience, please.
Well, the FBI has what they call the Highway Serial Killing Initiative, and there's a map. We have it posted on Web Sleuths, and I believe it was featured in The Killing Season. And all you see are these red dots all over the place where remains were found. And I know some were, when I first got interested in this, some were found, there was a series of women that were found in the Ohio area, and they were all believed to have been picked up at truck stops. And this is happening pretty much all over the country. And again, it's very, very hard to trace them back. But of course it's terrorizing. I mean, who would think, some young women think I'll tell you personally, from my personal experience.
Okay.
When I was young and single, and I used to travel, I had friends in, I'm in Louisiana, I had friends in Florida, I had friends in Alabama, Texas, and I used to drive on the road alone by myself often. But I have to say that any time that I had a flat tire, or one time I had a flat tire and tried to change it myself and then ended up locking my keys, closing the trunk door with my keys in the trunk.
Oh, no.
And I had a truck driver who actually stopped and pulled out my back seat of my old Chevy and reached in and was able to grab my keys. Another time I got stuck on what's called the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge, which is 13, 14 miles long between Lafayette and Baton Rouge. And my car broke down, and there was nowhere to get off. I would have walked for miles before I got off to an exit. And this trucker gave me a ride. And I didn't think twice about it because I have to say all of the truckers I encountered on the road were kind and helpful and never, ever threatening. Now I look back on what I know and what I hear, and I get anxiety attacks thinking about the danger
of what
I could might
have happened. Right.
But,
terrifying.
We have to say that the majority of truckers, long-haul truckers, are good people. And I used to consider them the angels of the highway. But all of that was going on during the time when a lot of women, Ted Bundy was active, and there were a lot of serial killers that were active at the time, but I was young and silly. But we should be careful not to give long-haul truckers a bad name.
Absolutely, and let's face it, the vast majority are the angels on the highway. You're absolutely right. It's just the luck of the draw. If you're a sex worker or you have a car that is broken down, you don't know who you're going to get. You were lucky, and the odds were probably with you that you were going to run into a good guy rather than a bad guy. But talk about being in a vulnerable position, alone on a highway.
Yeah.
The first story you told about the trucker reaching through your back seat and grabbing your keys, if he would have had any inkling to harm you, he could have done it and easily gotten away with it. And that is what is so scary.
Now, I actually got in the truck with him to get a ride to the next exit, which was like 10 miles away. I mean, he could have taken me off and you know, I'd be in the Chafalaya Swamp somewhere right now. Nobody would have known. But the danger of the women that hang around the truck stops and actually approach truck drivers, you know, what they call the lot lizards. I hate that term, but
I do too. That's a horrible term.
But it's true. They do that regularly to make money. And we shouldn't shame them, because most of them are there for some need.
Exactly.
You know.
We can start on the rant about drug addiction. You don't need to feel like you're a moral failure if you have a drug addiction. It happens to everybody. And I get just so angry when people say, why don't they just stop and pull themselves up by their bootstraps? If they could, they would. It's not an option.
And for some, it's drugs. For others, they it's poverty. They have a husband at home who is abusive. Some of their husbands even put them to work. And so it's not just women who just want to do drugs and are working or sex workers just because of their drug addictions. There are many reasons why women will solicit men for sex.
And
that goes in all areas of life.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, while you were busy, Bessie does all the heavy lifting on the show. I just sit back and chit-chat. While you're busy getting our other guests ready, Bessie, I was talking with Iris and Daffodils, and she had the pleasure of having a truck driver pull up next to her rig, and he was naked from the waist down. He was trying to get her to come into his cab to look at his CDs or something ridiculous like that. It's like, come on. Guys, really? So Iris and Daffodils she's had a couple of, probably more, pretty scary experiences, including when she was asleep, the sex workers would rattle her doorknobs thinking that it was a guy in there. I mean, that would be very unnerving. You have new angles with us, right, Bessie?
Yes, she's waiting to come on.
Okay. New angles, are you with us, my dear?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Tell us your situation on how you were able to travel these highways that the serial killers travel.
I was actually going cross country from California up through into New York with a couple of stops on the way. And my particular company that I drove with, their headquarters was in Oklahoma. So we were picked up in California as team drivers, two females, to go across country to Oklahoma. We were to pick up a load in Oklahoma and take it on up to New York.
So you were a truck driver. And how long were you a truck driver?
I still am.
How long were you a truck driver? Oh, you still are? That's great.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm
what were you going to say?
I've been a truck driver for 3 years now.
Do you like it?
It's it has its good points, let's put it that way. You get to see the country. You get to see things that you wouldn't normally see. You do meet people. There is a good network of people out there, as Bessie was saying before. But then again, you also are exposed to the underbelly of it, unfortunately.
And what describe the underbelly of it, what you have seen that these women who are sex workers have to deal with day in and day out. Tell us your experiences.
One of the experiences I posted on the website was a particular sex worker at one of these pilots truck stops. It was right off of the highway. I was there doing a local run, and she was blocking traffic coming off of the freeway, off of the on-ramp. You know how you go off the on-ramp, and then you cut across the freeway over the overpass. And I had to stop my truck and get out and try to get her to get off of the road because there was a man in a truck driver soliciting her on the side of the road. Well, that's what they do. They will stop traffic. That's what they get arrested for, not necessarily the solicitation aspect because they can't prove it unless there's been money transaction, but they stop them and arrest them for stopping traffic. So as I got out of the truck, the gentleman she was speaking with, I say gentleman, and I use that term loosely because in my eyes that's not a gentleman. However, he opened his door to speak with her, and when he opened his door, any truck driver knows we use a tire thumper, and we usually put it on the left side by the door, so as we're getting in and out of the truck, we grab the tire thumper to check our tires. Well, he had his tire thumper sitting right there. She reached into his truck from the road, grabbed the tire thumper, and started coming at me. All I did was stop the truck and ask her to get out of the road.
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
Yeah, this was broad daylight.
Oh, my God. So were you, I'm assuming you were able to escape. What, did you call the police? What, how did this end up?
Well, by now, of course, she was creating such a ruckus that everybody was alert and aware of what was going on. Right? So as she came towards me, I kind of stepped back. I took two steps back, went around to my truck and grabbed my tire thumper, came back out and started coming after her. Because I was going to block her. I wasn't going to hurt her. I was going to block her if she tried to take a swing at me. Well, I guess she thought twice about it. The other gentleman yelled at her. He said something to her. I don't know if he said her name or what he said to her, but it got her attention, and she turned around, and then she just threw the tire thumper and hit my truck with it. And, of course, I didn't have to do anything, but then he yelled at her. She jumped right into the truck. I mean, it almost sprouted wings and went into the truck. And I told him, I said, all I'm trying to do is get my truck around you guys. You guys are soliciting. I don't know what your business is, and this and that. He didn't say a word to me. He got into the truck. As he got into the truck, he hit her, slammed her into the back. I could see through the window what he was doing to her. And she was taking it like it was nothing, like it was every day. Now, I understand why she came at me the way she did, because she was so, their defenses are so high, and that's why it's hard for me to understand how these serial killers can get underneath those defenses, because something simple like that, asking her to get out of the road so that I could get my truck by, triggered her to grab a weapon and come after me. So you would have to really be pretty savvy on the road in order to get under the radar of a sex worker. That's why I believe that the serial killer that you spoke with said that there was women in this group. I believe that, as you know, with all the investigations that you've watched and heard about, they have some kind of a ruse to draw somebody in. The only way that I could possibly think of drawing these women in, because their defenses are so high, is to have a woman approach them. Now, she reacted violently towards me, and I am a woman, so she would have had to have had some kind of reason to seek her out. Like, she was wandering around. I've seen women, sex workers, wandering around in the cold with bathing suit tops on. And I literally said, are you cold? Obviously she was, and she would kind of leer. She was real leery, and she came over to me, and I said, I have an extra blanket. So she didn't get in the truck. She didn't really say anything, but she allowed me to come to her and give her a blanket. So in a sense that if I were to be working in correlation with a serial killer, that would have been my opportunity to grab her.
There you go.
Because,
and it very well could be
a man like that. Yes. It could be a female, male and female team. But I don't think that a woman would do this on her own. a female
driver would not do this
on her own.
No, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Web Sleuth member New Angles, and New Angles is a truck driver. She's driven the roads that we assume the Long Island serial killer has driven. She, along with our other guests tonight, have had varying experiences along those very dangerous roads, and the sex workers that work the truck stops, like we say, are always in danger. Another thing I was thinking, you know, maybe if he had a big wad of cash and he was really friendly and, you know, very just laid back and sweet and had it flashed a roll of money, I wonder if that too might be a way to get them in his car. I don't know. I've actually been approached twice. Twice I've been mistaken for a prostitute, which is,
happens
kind of
a lot with me. And there's a
it
code
does.
Of
we'll
conduct
talk to Tell me
for
about it.
Female truck
yes.
drivers. Well,
oh,
female
let's
truck
hear
drivers,
that. Let's hear that.
When I was going through school and I was going to my over-the-road student training, I had a female driver that was training me. And I wanted a female driver because I was going into this knowing as a child driving with my father that there are dangers. However, I became very aware of the dangers as a female truck driver, a completely different angle than being a child, not really knowing anything. And she, as we would drive along the road, she would tell me, you know, these are the things you need to do when we pull into a truck stop. You don't, if they're flashing their lights, you don't walk over there. If they're sitting in their truck trying to signal you over to their truck, don't go over there. If you see them walking along in the middle of their truck, don't go over there. Don't park all the way in the very back because that's when most of the crimes will happen. If you park all the way in the dark, it might be a little noisier, but park closer to the actual station itself.
Right.
When you're in the middle of the daytime, when you're getting fuel, walking around your truck, be wary. Always have something with you. I always had one of my tire irons with me or my tire thumper or something. Even if I didn't need it for my job, per se, to check my tires, I would have it with me. And she says,
can I stop you right here? Can I stop you right here, New Angles? What is a tire thumper? I mean, I know obviously what it does. What does it look like? Is it heavy? It just
oh, it's heavy. Mine, I made it myself. And what it is, mm-hmm. is if you were to take a tire iron, just the straight, long tire iron, as heavy as those are, or maybe even a fire poker kind of an idea, but it's much thicker. It's about 2 inches in diameter down to like a half an inch in diameter. And it's made out of iron. And then you weld a mm-hmm. huge piece of metal on the end of it, basically. And what you're doing is you go around and you use this thing to thump your tires to make sure that they're not flat, they're supposed to have a certain sound or whatnot. Basically, you can use that as a weapon. And if you come along, it's about 2 feet long, okay? Another thing mm-hmm. you can use is there's a hook that's also made out of iron and that you use to release your fifth wheel. And it literally looks like a haystack hook, like a hay hook
mm-hmm.
with a big curve on
okay.
the end of it. That can also be used as a weapon, and I've had those with me.
And so you felt pretty safe. So, okay, one of the etiquette, one of the rules that you follow as a female truck driver is even in the daytime when you're walking around, checking your tires, getting fuel, you have your tire iron or your tire thumper with you. You have something with you, and that makes you feel more comforted, I'm assuming.
Yes, and you also don't approach, walk up on a sex worker as well while she's working.
You don't?
Oh.
I mean,
no.
Are you just, I mean, I see, I'd be tempted to walk up and say, can I buy you some food? Can I save you? Can I rescue you? I mean, something ridiculous like that, which I know I shouldn't do. So why
well,
do they tell you not to approach
me.
Them?
Mm-hmm. Because you're cringing on their territory. This is what happened. I found out after the fact. When I was approached by this girl, the one of the sex workers I told you that came at me with the tire iron, that's
right.
because I was encroaching on her. She thought
okay.
I was going to talk to him. She wasn't upset that I was talking to her. She thought I was talking to him.
Mm-hmm. And taking her money away. I see.
Exactly.
So that's just, mm-hmm. you just stay away. Well, it sounds like a war zone. I mean, the way you have to protect yourself, and this goes for male truck drivers too. I mean, they can get injured as well, but not so much as females, obviously. Did you find a lot of resistance from the other male drivers since you were a female?
Oh, gosh,
like, you shouldn't be here. Really? Oh, yeah. Man, I was hoping that was starting to fade away, but apparently not. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, most of it, I believe, was a resentment because I was actually, there were times when I was solo driving. And, oh, well, where's your old man? I'm solo driving in conversation in a safe area, which would be like when I had to go in and get something to eat. A lot of times I would grab something to eat, take it to my truck and eat it, because they would strike up a conversation like your last guest was mentioning, and then all of a sudden you'd meet them, you'd go out to your truck, and they'd be there. Like,
oh,
any
dear.
Open invitation, any form of conversation or communication, whether it's eye contact, even being polite, which you would call small talk when you're standing in line checking out at a store, that's an open invitation.
That's scary. You can't even be a friendly human being because it sends
Not
out
at
the
all.
Wrong signal. Oh, that's so sad.
And that's just my experience,
so
okay? So, and I've had the opposite experience as well.
Like?
Well, for
like
instance,
what?
I was broke down on the side of the road, and I had a truck driver I didn't even know. He saw what had happened, and I had a double blowout on the trailer of the tire, of course, and I had to have an emergency stop, and I emergency stopped to the side. And before I even got out of the pulling over, so at that time that I know of, he didn't know I was a female driver. He was basically doing the camaraderie thing. He saw what had happened, and he was pulling over to assist before he knew I was a female truck driver.
Right.
And I was leery about that, too, because he came up behind me, and I thought to myself, why is this guy coming up on me like that? And then he, really quick, he saw that I was a female. He put both of his hands up, like, up to his face and goes, sorry, I was just making sure that you were all right. He says, if you got it under control, I'll leave right now. And I said, actually, I do, because all I had to do is make a phone call and get somebody out there or whatever I needed to do. And he left and went on his way. So, yes, he was going to assist me because that was a major breakdown, which is a double blowout, which rarely happens, but it just happened to happen simultaneously. So,
you were the lucky one to get that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 5 hours later, I got it fixed, but here I am. So, yeah, there are things that I've had good things happen as well. The underbelly is all day long, all night long. There is no specific time that is safe. It's ongoing 24/7.
Let's go to Bessie, one of our head moderators, administrators at Web Sleuths. Bessie, do you have any questions so far? I find this so fascinating. I've never thought much about female truck drivers, but it is a totally different experience for them as opposed to their male counterparts. Do you have any questions for New Angles? Bessie, are you there? Hello, Bessie. She's probably got herself on mute, and she's chatting and chatting and has no idea. That's okay. New Angles, you currently are a truck driver. How does that work? I mean, do you go out for a week and then come home for a week? Do you get to pick and choose? How does that happen?
No, if you're a solo driver and you're an owner-operator, you can pick and choose your loads. For instance, if you have somebody in New York that's family and you want to go visit them, you can arrange for a ride for a load going to New York and then, say, arrange for a load coming back from New York a week later. But that's the luxury of being an owner-operator. If you work for a company, they're going to want to keep the wheels turning. They're not going to want that truck to sit for a week because the longer it sits, it's not making money. So you at the mercy
you're
of the company and where they want you to go.
Right, exactly. Let's get back to the sex workers and the fact that it is 24 hours. It doesn't matter if it's 10 in the morning, 10 at night, or 3 a.m. It's all still dangerous for these women who do this work. Do you understand now more than ever how a serial killer, like the Long Island serial killer, can easily get away with what he has been doing?
It's scary.
Because you've seen it.
I've seen it. I can give an example from California, say, to Oklahoma, okay? I was on I-40. I-40 goes through the northern part, I would say, of Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, the Panhandle. All of that, that entire area we're talking about, 800 miles, is nothing but dust.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing as far as you can see. And you can easily keep somebody in that truck for that entire time, do whatever you want to them. You could even stop for your 10-hour reset whenever you need to and not let that person out of that truck because they're at your mercy. Sometimes it's 3 below, 30 below. The weather has a lot to do with it. So I can see why if somebody was picked up as a sex worker, say, in California, they're at the mercy of that driver until that driver is done with them, and hopefully they're still alive. They can bury them anywhere along that road. And that's just one highway.
There's thousands of others out there. New Angles, we're going to come back to you in just a little bit. Do you mind holding on for a moment?
Sure.
Okay.
Tricia?
Good. We're going to go to our – oh, yes, Bessie, you're there. Hello. What happened to you?
I'm sorry. I was just having some technical difficulties. I got knocked off a couple of times.
That's
all right,
okay. Did you have anything that you wanted to add with New Angles before we go to Honesty?
No, not right now. Let's just keep going.
Okay.
And I'll jump in as I can now that I'm back online.
Okay, good deal. Let's go to our next guest. She is Honesty on WebSleuth. Love that username.
Hi.
Honesty, are you still with us, my dear?
I am. I'm here.
Great. Now, tell us what you do and how you ended up traveling these same highways.
I'm no longer driving. I drove from 95 until just a couple of years ago. And now I still work with truckers, but I'm no longer driving. But I drove solo and team over the years that I did.
And you've been listening to our other guests, who are truck drivers as well, describe what it's like for the sex workers and how scary it is. What would you like to add from your personal experience that could help us understand more the situation that these women find themselves in and day out?
Wow, they've done a great job of covering these ladies and their unfortunate situations. You know, the sad thing is you see them, these ladies out there, and you, as a woman, you know, you have that motherly instinct about you, you know, and you want to reach out to them, but you can't because, you know, as some of the others said, you know, they're protecting their territory, and so it makes it a little difficult.
Have you ever had a frightening experience on the road?
I've had a few with drivers. They, you know, act out inappropriately, you know, will assume that because you are a female and you're out there that, you know, you would put yourself in that kind of position to sell your body. I've had one in particular where I was on a dock and, you know, another driver, he was flirting with me and, you know, I just told him to stop. I was not, you know, having that. And he kept on. And so I gave him a second warning and I told him I would hurt him if he did not stop. He kept flirting and I picked up, it was a dock where they used a piece of iron to lift the dock plate into the truck. And I picked it up and beat the crap out of him.
Good for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble for that? Or did you get an award, one or the other?
No, it was a real scary thing. I did not get in trouble. I very well could have. But I didn't, thankfully, because, yeah, that could have been pretty serious.
So what eventually happened? Did you send him to the hospital?
I'm sure he went. They finished unloading my trailer, and I left and went on to my next destination.
Bessie, did you have a question?
Well, honestly, I think you are the one. You said you drove sometimes with your husband.
Yes.
And were you in the truck at times when someone would approach your husband in the truck?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the earlier days. You know, now it's now there's a lot of apps people use, and so you don't see as much activity as you did years ago. But it was very common for, and not just the prostitutes. You have anybody to come up to your truck and knock on your door. They want to bum something. They got a sob story. They, you know, and the whole time they're jumping up on the side of your truck and they're looking into your truck to see what you have. And, you know, it's very uncomfortable. You try to avoid that at all costs.
You know, and you mentioned apps. And I read, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which one of you may have said it, but there, I understand there's an app where sort of below the radar, where truckers and sex workers can communicate without, you know, being over the air. Is that correct?
I've heard of it, but I've never looked into what it actually entails.
So there's an app. I mean, there's app. Yeah, maybe any of the other guests. Do you know about any of these apps that Honesty is talking about? Iris and Daffodils. Do you know any?
Yeah. It's not. That's not what it was made for. It was made for. It's called Trucker Path. It basically shows you what. Rest stops and truck stops are on your route. But there is an unmoderated comment section for each stop. And I noticed that basically a lot of them are lewd. A lot of them talk about the sex workers there. And even the workers, you know, the workers at the truck stop, a lot of times they talk about who's willing, I guess you can say, or who's kind of open to sex work.
Right.
And so these are in the comment section. Oh, I'm sorry, Bessie,
yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so say truckers or sex workers can kind of comment there and say, hey, stop at truck stop, exit number, whatever, and there's a lot of action there. For instance.
Yeah, basically, yes. Like, you can click on, you can input your route, and it'll show you, like, you know, the quickest route and the truck stops along the way. And you can click on the truck stop, and then there will be, there's, like, a rating system. It tells you what amenities it has. And then if you kind of swipe to the left, you'll hit the comment section, and it's pretty much free range. They don't moderate the comments.
Oh, my gosh, I can just imagine. Truck drivers and sex workers agree on a forum.
It'll have their names.
Yeah, it must. Oh, really? It'll have their names, and I guess they just don't care. And, again, in this – go ahead.
Oh, it's just – it's really lewd talk, basically.
So I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine. Yeah, I mean, can't you, Bessie? I mean, think about it. When we have – unmoderated threads on our forum, it gets crazy. Right. Can you imagine truck drivers and sex workers unmoderated on a forum? You couldn't do anything to stop them.
No. No, and is it true that there are some trucks where there are, like, private showers?
There are always showers.
Yeah, it's really hard. Oh, I mean, what would you say, you know, to female truck drivers that are, you know, legitimate and want to stay safe? What would your advice be to Honesty?
Who are we addressing this to, Bessie?
Honesty.
Yeah, whoever wants to jump in. Honesty.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the girls covered it well. You know, I would just advise them to be on their game. You know, carry the tire thumper, you know, carry a taser, you know, something. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You are at risk when you are
right.
in these public places. It's very dangerous.
And
I can't imagine.
I remember reading one post, and I'm not sure, and this might have been mentioned when I got cut off, but I remember reading somebody said that you use ratchet straps to lock your doors because
yeah,
they'll come and pull on your doors.
They will. They'll pull on your doors. And some of the earlier trucks, you could pop the lock really easy on those. They're not as easy to do now, but especially like the Freightliners were notorious. I mean, you literally could take your fist and hit where the lock is, and it would bounce up and unlock the door, so somebody could easily get in. So you want to use ratchet straps and use your seat belts and just basically lock yourself in there when you're going down for that sleeper break.
Ah, gee, I could never
sleep. That's scary. Yeah, I don't think I could either. Honesty, did you see a lot of drug dealing going on? Is that something that goes hand in hand with the sex workers usually?
It is, yes, unfortunately it is. And they'll advertise it out on the radio.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Is it usually meth or is it just everything?
Pretty much anything you can think of.
That's just amazing to me that... That they would
whatever
be that brazen
the flavor
to
of the
do
day
that. What, yeah, whatever the fun thing, the thing that everybody's talking about doing is, they want that. Oh, God, that's just crazy. So, Honesty, you were talking about some of the things that have happened to you. One of them, you beat the crap out of somebody, a trucker that wouldn't leave you alone. So we do have a trophy for you waiting after the show, because I think that's great. Good for you. I don't think you ever did that again. Thank goodness. Do you have any other stories, or were you felt like you were in danger?
Well, yeah, I always felt in danger. If I didn't, I would have let my guard down and probably could have gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing. That was probably the worst thing that ever happened. You know, you always have men that are going to cross the line and flirt and assume things, you know, towards a female that's out there doing her job. But I don't really have a lot of scary stories. I was very fortunate in all of the years that I was out there.
Well, that's good. Believe me, I'd much rather hear that than find out you had a list of scary things that happened to you. What I find is interesting is we're kind of referring this about serial killers, when in reality, Honesty, it was another fellow truck driver that was the scariest one that you had ever encountered. So, and that's just kind of ironic. It wasn't the serial killer, but the truck driver themselves. Bessie, before I go on, is there anything else you would like to add or ask?
No, again, I mean, my question is, you know, was what can people do, what can women do to protect themselves? And that was my big question.
Well, I guess the best thing that they said is carry the tire iron. Go ahead.
Just to continue to share, you know, what they've seen, what they've experienced, what encounters they've had with sex workers or with truck drivers. And am I correct that all of you, I think, have traveled some, you know, different routes? I mean, is there just one particular route that you think is more dangerous? And this is for all of you. Is there one particular route that you think is more dangerous than another?
I think they all have the potential to be dangerous in the sense that if you're going long haul, you have hundreds and hundreds of miles of nothingness that mm-hmm. you can just do pretty much anything you want with somebody, dump a body anywhere you want, and just go on your merry way.
Yeah, that's the very scary part and the reason why it's so hard to solve these murders.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, who wanted to say something? Anybody? I thought I heard somebody jump in there. I didn't want to talk over them. This goes for everybody as well. Do you feel that you've ever met somebody in your truck driving days that was a criminal that gave you that feeling that maybe this is the guy that could really hurt me or do something horrible? Let's start with New Angles. New Angles, have you ever come across that feeling that maybe you've run into a serial killer before?
I think so. I do.
Talk to me about that. When did that happen? What happened?
It was my co-driver and I, both female again, we stopped to get showers. We hadn't taken a shower in let's not say how long. And we pulled in and we were hungry. We were hungry and we needed showers. And our number came up, her number came up, and then my number came up. And we got our showers before. And there's a system that they have, and we don't have any control over the system. He started getting snotty with us, and we were like, you know, well, we need a shower, kind of back and forth a little bit. And the entire time that we were there, he was really just looking at us in a way that we were afraid to go by ourselves mm-hmm. back out to our truck, because he was a huge, huge guy. He had these mm-hmm. steel blue eyes that just looked like he had probably killed somebody before. Again, if he had just been standing there and not said a thing to us, he would have still given me that deep vibe of terror in my stomach that you just wanted to go screaming out of the room and get away from him.
Wow. Oh, God. Can you imagine how often that happens? Honesty, do you ever feel like you've run into a serial killer or such?
I can't remember any particular incident, but there are people who out there who just give you that instinct, that gut feeling. You do not want to be near them. They are scary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I can only imagine. And let's go to Iris and Daffodils. How about you, my dear? Have you ever had that, I'm with a serial killer type feeling before?
Actually, the story I was telling earlier about the guy in the tanker truck next to me. I didn't feel that way at first. It wasn't until I had gotten back to my truck and he was still trying to talk, and the conversation, he seemed normal, and then he would say something kind of lewd, and he just seemed like a different mm-hmm. person for a second, and then he switched right back to, I think he was trying to test me to see what I was, you know, I guess if I was willing to do things with him, or I don't know if I was looking for that, and it was just really uncomfortable. But
you
it kind of made
wonder.
I'm sure it made
your hair stand up.
Really
have any ever seen?
Go ahead, Bessie.
Have any of you ever seen pictures of some of the arrested serial, long haul trucker serial killers that you think you might have encountered at any point?
Yes.
Really?
Who's that speaking now?
That honesty. Whenever these things come out, you know, you think that face looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Mendenhall was one of those for me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What was the name? I'm sorry, say again.
Mendenhall.
Bruce
oh, right,
Mendenhall.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah, he was a creepy dude.
Very.
You know what? It's you have to wonder with these men, truck drivers or not, when they approach a woman and they're very vulgar, how that must work for them at some point in their life, or they wouldn't keep doing it. They wouldn't do it. You have to wonder how this really does work for them. Apparently, there's women out there that probably sex workers that will, the guy starts talking dirty and she sees money signs and they hook up and everybody's happy. But you have to wonder how this crudeness and this harshness works for them. You would think they would go the other route and try and be friendly and adorable and a big cuddly teddy bear instead of a big scary trucker dude talking dirty to you. That's what I don't get. But again, it must work. Let's go down the line again. And Iris and Daffodils, we'll start with you first. When you first started driving truck, were you shocked at the sex workers, how they were everywhere, and it was really just a constant wherever you went. Were you surprised, or were you kind of prepared for this?
I had no idea. I was completely naive to the entire... I was 28 when I started driving, and I didn't even know, you know, prostitution was, like, happened anymore. I was very naive.
Mm-hmm.
I had never been to a truck stop before I started driving. I grew up in a city. So it was
That was
just,
a shock to you then.
It was completely, I couldn't believe it. The only thing I knew how to do was ignore them. I wouldn't look at them. I don't know if any of the other girls have felt it, but like an animosity towards them as drivers from the sex workers. So I just completely ignored, like, I'm not a bleeding heart, so I wouldn't stop, you know. I mean, I feel for them. I definitely do. And I understand that they're probably in very bad, you know, predicaments where they have to do these things. But I've felt that animosity from them. And I don't know if it's because they think I'm trying to encroach on their territory or what. But I just feel that from them. So I avoided them.
New Angles, how about you? Were you kind of just fresh off the farm, not having very much experience, then boom, you're thrown into this wild world of trucking and sex workers?
Not really, because I did travel with my dad when I was young.
Oh, that's right.
So when I got into truck driving, I knew that it was there. I was aware of it being there. However, I thought, well, I can, you know, I'll only go here, or I'll ignore that, or I'll just be very careful. Until I got into the trucking aspect as a driver, then I realized that it's unavoidable sometimes. It is in your face all the time, whether it's from the way you're treated by other drivers, whether it's from sex workers just walking up to your truck, like you said, banging on the doors, to it's just always there.
That's, you know, we don't see that. People like Bessie and myself, we're not out in trucks, so we have our happy little lives, not realizing all of this underbelly is out there. Honesty, let's hear from you. How did you handle your first time seeing all of this as a new trucker?
I too rode with my father, and my father had to educate me. I was probably about 14, 15 years old on a trip with him when I encountered the first female prostitute, and he had to explain it to me. So by the time that I became a driver myself, I was very well aware of what went on out there and kind of what to look for to avoid.
So that's good. So you were at 14 years old. I'm sure you did get quite the education. Going out on the road with your dad, that must have been pretty wild. Bessie, I want to go to you before
we
start wrapping things up.
You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Much better to learn from dad than from some crazy trucker teaching you the hard way. No,
exactly.
Thank you. Bessie, before we wrap this up, is there anything that you want to jump in and add?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, and again, this may have been answered when I got kicked off. Have any of you, and we can go down the line and start with Irises and Daffodils, did you ever have a sex worker approach you that needed help or wanted help?
No. The only, I don't know if they were sex workers. I did stop at a J in Jackson, Mississippi once, and I had some people ask me for money, and they but there's never been anyone asking me to get them out of the life.
Yeah, nobody like that. And New Angels, what about you?
I've been exposed to them, like, as in begging for money or asking me for a blanket or asking if I had any food. There was always a false pretense to that. Because they were looking for, do you have
you know, do you have a co-driver or is there anybody? Because they couldn't get any money out of me sexually, obviously. So they were kind of like trying to get into what the people that I was talking to, which were other men.
But so, did anyone ever approach you that was like, hey, I'm in trouble, you know, can you help me? Can you rescue me? Can you give me a ride to get out of here or take me to a hospital or the police or anything like that?
Not specifically like that, but I did see one that was in a situation where I could see that she was trying to get out of, but to try and approach them when they're in that situation, when they're in that flight mode, it's very dangerous.
Right. And honesty? Same question.
I did. I helped a girl. She was trying to get out, get back to another city, and I actually took her to the other city. And, you know, I never felt unsafe with her, though. This was really a girl that had just been through a lot of bad things, and she needed to get back to family that had promised to help her. And, and I was able to actually keep in touch with her for a few years. And she got out. She got out of everything, but I've since lost touch with her, so I don't know where she's at now.
Well, that's okay. At least you helped her, and she got out of it. You know, I mean, I've met women in the French Quarter years ago, many years ago. you know, I actually gave a girl some money to take a cab, dropped her off at Charity Hospital, and then gave her some money to get a cab to get back across the river because she was covered in cigarette burns. So I just wondered.
Oh, my God.
So I just wondered, you know, do you ever, you know, meet up women that go, please help me, rescue me. I got into this, you know, not knowing what I was getting into, and I want out. So that's great honesty. Thank you. Honesty gets another trophy.
There we go. Gosh, she's getting all the trophies tonight. Man, that's great.
All of you ladies get trophies because you've been there, you've done your best, and you've survived.
Exactly. And we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this. One final little topic here. It's not a little topic. It's a big deal. Minors. How young? And I know you don't have the exact age, but let's start with Iris and Daffodils. What's the youngest sex worker that you've seen that you can kind of pinpoint their age? Iris and Daffodils, are you there?
Oh, can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Now I can. Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Hi. Iris, did you hear the question?
The youngest I've seen, probably, there's a girl in Laredo. She looks very young from far, and I see her every time I'm there at the J. She looks to be in her teens, but I don't believe she is. I think she's in her 20s maybe. But she looks like a little girl. She's very petite, and she's got really long hair. I've seen her more than anyone, so she stands out in my mind. But that's probably, I would say, in her mid-20s.
I'm sure that, unfortunately, that is a type that I'm sure some truck drivers want, and that's why she keeps the hair long and keeps the young look. New Angles, how about you? Youngest sex worker you've ever come across?
I would say that initially when I saw her, she looked like she was in her early teens, say maybe 14 or 15. But as I got closer to her, I realized that she was probably aged quite a bit from drug use and the lifestyle. So she's probably in her early 20s or so. But like
still,
she said, very petite, long hair, very petite, maybe weighed 90 pounds, you know, soaking wet. So I can see how these sex workers can be overcome very easily by these big, burly truck drivers.
Sure. And it's if they've been doing it for years and years and years, their body is probably that of an 80-year-old, and that's why they don't have any meat on them. It's just awful. Bessie, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say how horrible it is.
It is. And let's go to Honesty, the youngest sex worker in your mind that you've seen.
I saw a girl in San Antonio. It was two girls. They couldn't have been much more than 13, 14 years old.
Oh, no. Oh,
very,
God.
Very young.
And you know that happens. And you know that happens. And I don't even know how to get them out of there. I don't know what the answer is. I don't.
Well, there is a group. They are Truckers Against Trafficking. They use the letters TAT. And they are working very hard to try to curb all of these things and eliminate them. I don't know that you'll ever eliminate it, but to curb it, to bring awareness to it. And they have a lot of truck driver followers who are, you know, they're guys that are, that have vowed that if when they see this stuff going on, they're going to call it in.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, that was enough. That was my next question. Are there any organizations that you've encountered out there who are trying to help these girls? So that answered that question.
There's
and,
Cat,
and also,
and you have the Truckers Chapels. You have where they do a ministry, and they do reach out to the workers that they see where they do their work.
Good.
And also, our good friend Mark Klass from the Klass Kids Foundation, his best friend and right-hand man, Brad Dennis, I know he does a lot of reaching out to try and get these sex workers, the young sex workers, off of the streets, because that's human trafficking, my friends. When you hear human trafficking, that's it. It's prostitution. It's that girl from Kansas who ran away from home to get to the big city and ends up being a hooker at 13 years old. That is sex trafficking. And Class Kids works night and day, I know, to try and work with the truckers and work with everybody to try and get these kids off the street. And they've had a lot of success stories. So, ladies, I want to thank you so much. Honesty, New Angles, and Iris and Daffodils, you have been fantastic. We will see you on the forums. Thank you for opening up your lives to us. Oh, go ahead.
I have one more comment. And
okay.
I would really appreciate if you ladies would check out our unidentified forum, and because we have, you know, sketches and postmortem pictures and descriptions of unidentified bodies. And if you all could take a little time to check those out and see if perhaps you might recognize any of those women.
Is that in the website?
It's on the website. It's under, the main heading is missing, and then below that there's a section called unidentified. Carl Kay, who's one of our great UID moderators, kind of runs that section of Websleuth, and it's a sub forum of missing. And check it out. Sometimes there are pictures, sometimes there are pieces of clothing, and it will tell you, you know, where the bodies were found, some description that you might say, hey, I remember seeing that girl, or I remember seeing that girl wearing that ring or that jacket, and you could help in that way.
And that's good for all of everybody, for everybody listening. You never know what information you might have.
But especially for these ladies who have, you know, been exposed to sex workers,
right,
and have seen them. Hey, you might see somebody and go, I saw that girl at a truck stop in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or whatever. And
right, exactly.
It might help us to identify her and locate her family.
You never know. We can send you those links as well. But if you go to websleuth.com/forums and just scroll down, you should be able to see all of the forums and see the missing. It's an amazing group of people that work night and day trying to identify these people. And I just got to give them all the praise in the world, because they really are amazing. Ladies, I can't thank you enough for everything you are doing for us, coming on here, opening up your lives to us. We really, really appreciate it. Honesty, New Angles, and Iris and Daffodils, thank you, ladies, so much. You take care now, okay?
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
And Miss Bessie, I think that wraps it up for tonight. That was interesting. I have never thought about what female truck drivers have gone through on the road. You know, when you think about it, it's got to be pretty darn scary. And
sure,
you got to know there's a minute. Yeah.
Absolutely. And when I opened that thread and I saw the response, and these were three of the women that were the most vocal, and I thought, wow, we've got to get that out there because they have been there. They have seen it. They're not sex workers, but they have been exposed to it. They've seen it, and they can tell the story. And hopefully,
exactly. Hopefully,
with all in my heart, I pray that they will save someone will be saved by listening to them.
You know what? I have no doubt. I have no doubt that something good will come of this. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Bessie, we'll see you next week. Our topic next week, I have no idea because it depends on what happens, right? Depends on what happens in the world. So at some point, we are going to have a couple of book authors on. We've got some new books that have come out that I know our members would love. In fact, I'm going to grab one that I have right here in my office. And it is called McStay's Taken Too Soon, A True Story, and that's by Patrick McStay. Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking to have Patrick McStay, the father of the missing McStay son and his wife and their grandkids. He's been through hell and back. We're going to have him on the show at some point. We have all kinds of surprises in store for you. Next week, we're just going to kind of wait and see what the world tells us, and that will be our topic. So, again, Bessie, thank you for doing all the heavy lifting. I really appreciate it.
Can I add one more
thing? What were you
going to say? Oh, can I add one more thing? Of course, the McStay case, you know, is one very, very close to my heart. But also, many of our members have been interested in a show called Killing Fields, about Eugenie Bonfontaine. This is a Louisiana case about a woman who was abducted near the LSU Lakes, and season two is starting now. So be sure to tune in. I think it's on A&E.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
we love A&E. Gotta love A&E. Okay, Bessie, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Everybody, you have a safe week. Join us back here next week, same time, same place, for Web Sleuths Radio. Good night, everybody.